Well, researching the resurrection, when I preached this sermon in Antrim, I ran into a related quote from Socrates, a wise and famous Greek philosopher from the 5th century B.C. Lily, do you know who Socrates is? Have you ever heard of him?
No.
No. Augie?
No.
Okay, Mom and Deb, you guys? Yeah, you've heard of Socrates. He's perhaps most famous for his method of death. What was that?
Of death?
Yeah, how he died.
Oh, hemlock.
He was forced to drink hemlock. Before I started typing my notes for this sermon, I ran into something else that I just couldn't help but share. He said this. He said, "By all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll be happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher."
What's so bad about a philosopher?
Not sure you were totally listening, Augie.
Did he come up with the Socratic method?
Exactly, he did. Or they named it after him, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He's not the one that realized that the earth wasn't the center of the universe.
I don't think so, no. Of course, that quote that I just read, as much as I like it, isn't pertinent to the discussion. Instead, the Gospel Herald notes that when asked, he was asked this question, shall we live it? Well, here's the quote I'll let you know it. Shall we live again? And that was by his friends. The dying philosopher could only reply, I hope so, but no man can know. So he's asked, shall we live again? And here's a very wise man who can only respond, I hope so, but no man can know. Time for us to see if we can know even more than Socrates. But before we see what the Bible teaches about the resurrection, can we live again, we should note that even the Bible reflects Socrates' type of doubt. Let's look at some words from a 10th century B.C. Solomon. And this is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 16 through 20.
Can you give me the verse of the
chapter
again?
Chapter 3, 16 through 20. Actually, it's going to be through 22, I think, really, now that I look at it. Yeah, through 22, actually. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts. For all is vanity. All go to... Hey, come on in.
How are you?
Good.
Are you
looking for pizza?
Well, pizza and Russian directions.
Okay, where are you trying to go? Pizza,
Arnold's.
They don't open until 4.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Troy Arnold's place.
Troy Arnold.
Yeah. No?
You familiar?
60,001 East 112th.
Oh.
Yeah. That one.
Heavy, Wayne Worth.
Is it on Strasburg Road or something? Or what is the...
What was the...
60,001.
Because I'm 56805 East 33rd. Now I'm like 2 miles north. So that's way...
Hmm. Well, and I'd lost my internet, so.
Oh.
Oh. Well, we can hear. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. We're in no rush, right? No, there's no reason to apologize. It's one of the dangers of meeting in a pizza shop.
Do you want a piece of paper to write the directions down?
This is a good problem to have.
If you can find them.
Let's see. What was the address again?
60,001.
60,001.
Yep. Yeah. East 112.
Well, it may be so simple that he doesn't need to.
that still considered Strasburg? Or is it Billund?
I think it says it's Strasburg, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you... So this is where we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen is... Yeah, I mean, it's likely a straight thing. So here, just stand out here for a second. Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Didn't you hear the horn?
No. I was talking to this young
man. No worries.
He's doing it, the service.
It's fine. You got it? Yeah, basically what it is you go down, there's a little car wash there. There's a road beside it. You just take a left there, and
it's
from what I can see, it's straight.
But it's about 17 minutes from
there. And then it's just straight down that road a long way.
Cool.
And then you're going to take, your final thing is just taking a right on 112th Avenue, and then you're there. Well, I take it back. It looks like you have a little hook in the end. But
yeah, thank you very much.
Enjoy your trip.
You too.
It's a good day to be out there, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically, it's just way down.
Pretty
Strasburg.
Like I said, I'm on 33rd, and that's 2 miles, so yeah, 112 way up there.
And this is where I have to decide, do I cut this out as part of the internet? I think it adds flavor, so if you're hearing this after the fact, folks, that's what happens when you meet in a pizza shop. All go to one place. I'm back on verse 20. All go to one place. All are from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down to the earth? Did you hear that? Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? So I saw there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Again, listen to that. Who can bring him to see what will be afterward? Solomon couldn't even confidently say our fate was different than an animal. Matter of fact, he starts off saying we're no different. Theoretically, you could just say we both die, right? But then he goes on. Does one go up, the other one go down? How does this work? Now, either he can confidently say it, or I have to admit that, or maybe he just didn't say it in Ecclesiastes. But in those verses, do you see the same kind of doubt that we heard from Socrates? Who can say? Now, in fairness to Solomon, in ignoring how his myriad foreign wives clouded the wisdom God gave him, our Lord really didn't reveal much about the resurrection in the Old Testament period. I know of only one scripture in the first 39 books of the Bible that's what the Old Testament is, that speaks directly to it. Do you know what book we can find that scripture in? Anybody have an idea? Go ahead, make a guess. What book has it? In the Old Testament, I can only think of one scripture in the entire Old Testament that speaks to the resurrection. What book do you think that's in? Begins with a D.
Deuteronomy?
Well, it narrowed it down significantly. Wrong, right. Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel. Daniel 12, 1 through 2. Daniel 12, 1 through 2. It's in the last chapter of Daniel. And you can see the English Standard Version has put the title here, The Time of the End. Time of the End over the section. Daniel chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 2. It's fine. Actually, we probably should. They go together in some respects. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Now this is where it talks about the resurrection. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's the only time. Whole Testament. Somebody else finds it. They can email me or whatever, but Whole Testament. He was taken, but he wasn't resurrected.
Right.
Old Testament. And what's interesting, though, is, and it didn't hit me the first time I did the sermon, is notice two things. Not only does it talk about the resurrection, but it actually talks about both resurrections. Because we have a habit of thinking about the resurrection as just being of the righteous. But the Bible, in my opinion, makes it very clear that the wicked are resurrected too. It's a different resurrection. Which one do you want to be in? The first resurrection or the second?
First.
Exactly. So from the recorded beginning of time until a couple hundred years before Jesus' arrival, there was really no strong doctrine about the resurrection of the dead. Although one more quote does seem to indicate that God's faithful were aware of it, at least as far back as Abraham. And if I save time, I won't make you go look. But in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.'" This is pretty incredible, right? He offers up his son. And then notice what he says. "He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." So even though this is the New Testament, it implies that when Abraham offered up Isaac, he knew that God could resurrect him. Now, it could be more of a Lazarus situation that Abraham knew if he killed, that kind of stuff. But in many respects, speaking of Lazarus, I can't help but connect that reference that I just read to you to when Jesus was talking to Martha about the death of her brother Lazarus. Let's look at that one together. John 11, 20 through 27. John 11, 20 through 27. Are we there? "So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.'" Now listen to this. "Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.'" Did you get that same sense? What Martha was saying about what she thought about the resurrection and what Hebrews said about what Abraham thought about the resurrection? That's why I kind of wonder if Abraham, it is alluding to a similar understanding of the resurrection, even though the Old Testament itself doesn't mention those type of things that much. But that's what it is. And have you noticed how quickly we left the Old Testament and entered the New Testament? And how our entry into the New Testament, especially with Martha, okay? Especially with Martha, that as soon as we entered the New Testament, it shows a confidence that would be an envy of Solomon or Socrates. It has confidence. They did not. Okay. Martha may have had confidence, but should make it clear that even though Martha had confidence, the resurrection was not a settled matter in Jesus' time. Can anybody think of an incident in Jesus' life that proves there wasn't 100% Jewish consensus on the resurrection? Anybody can think of one? Come to mind? Do you remember a little question about some lady who marries a guy, he dies, marries another guy? Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at it. Matthew 22, 29 through 33. Matthew 22, 29 through 33. I'm not going to read the part where they ask him the questions. You remember ends up with seven wives, and they end up in the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her. That's what verse 27 says, and 28. So we're looking at Matthew 22:29-33. I mean, that was 28 that we said in the resurrection. But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead," so understand now he's doing is, they're asking a question, they're throwing a conundrum at him because of a Jewish rule, but what happens in Jewish society if the brother dies, what your responsibility is. And then they're saying, okay, now we're going to give you something which would be really hard to explain with the resurrection. So now he's already started and said, hey, you don't understand how that stuff works in heaven. And now he's going to the point, the bigger point, which is their problem with the resurrection. "And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead, and the Sadducees did not. And have you ever heard anybody say, that's why they were sad, you see? Hey, you know, dad puns, what can I say? With those differences between the Pharisees and the Sadducees being so great that Paul was able to cause a complete riot when, in addressing a council composed of both, he said, "It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial," in Acts 23:6. And when the dissension became violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him away from among them. Boy, like I said, I can't talk today. Take him away from among them by force and bring him into the barracks. That's Acts 23:10. Okay, based on Jesus' response to the Sadducees, what was Jesus' take on the resurrection? Do you believe in it or not? Based on what he said about the Sadducees.
No.
Jesus did. No, he did. He was correcting them.
I was going to say, you believe you didn't really fully die. I guess I'm wrong.
So you said the Sadducees don't believe.
Did not believe in the resurrection. And Jesus has said, basically, as for this resurrection thingy, guys, God is a God of the living, not of the dead. In other words, they will be resurrected. And he actually had more to say about the subject. Let's take a look at John 5:25-29. John 5:25-29. John 5:25-29. "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of what?
Judgment.
Exactly. Jesus not only confirms that the righteous will be resurrected, but he notes something that Daniel also brought out, that there will be a resurrection of the wicked too, one of judgment. So, especially with Jesus' corroboration, the resurrection of the dead seems so basic, and it is. It is even called an elementary doctrine in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1-2. So why are we talking about it? First, Because Paul makes it extremely clear how important belief in the resurrection of the dead is. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 through 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 through 22. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. If there is no resurrection, then we are still in our sins and we should be pitied. Now the second reason, that's reason number one. Resurrection is really important. Paul makes it clear. Number two, the second reason we are talking about it is because there is no greater hope than that which can be found in the good news that we will be raised again. You may remember these words. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with a sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Can any of us wait for the cry of a command, the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God? I don't know about you guys, but I'll admit, I am looking forward to flying through some clouds. I imagine that'll be better than, say, first class on an airplane. What do you think? And I bet you when we get there, we'll have better food, too. It'll be interesting. I think we're still, it's going to be interesting. I think we'll still eat.
I wish we would still be able to eat food in heaven.
Do you think they'll have a McDonald's? Chicken nuggets?
Yeah.
So reason number two is, it's the hope. The resurrection's important. We should talk about it because it's a hope. You think about your son who you've lost, right? When I did this sermon, Larry had just died. And it might have been in between because I didn't mention Becca. So this is a hope, right? If it wasn't true, we really should be pitied. Okay. Third reason we are discussing it is because we do miss all the brothers and sisters. I'm talking about brothers and sisters of Christ, but the fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and friends who we've been separated from. The resurrection reminds us that our separation is temporary from them and from every other saint who has gone before. We will not precede those who are in the body of Christ and who have fallen asleep. Instead, we get to join them in the clouds. Now, can you think about why Paul would say to encourage each other with those words? Isn't it obvious? Because they are encouraging. And perhaps that's the best reason for us to be discussing the resurrection. Because Paul, inspired by God, told us to, right? Verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 4. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And Deb, I apologize if I didn't do when it happened. If I didn't say that, I wasn't listening well enough. Those are for you. Sir Walter Raleigh, what's he famous for? Or infamous, depending on how you want to say it. What's he famous for?
Elizabeth I. Defeat the Spanish Armada. Oh, smoking?
I think he's responsible for tobacco becoming such a big part of, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Yep.
He's infamous, not famous.
Well, he's famous for other reasons. I mean, the fact is, even back then, what?
Walter Raleigh.
Hmm?
Sir Walter Raleigh is the tobacco.
Exactly, but I think that's because he was the one who brought it over. And Augie, the only reason I would be cautious about saying he may be infamous for tobacco, but understand at the time they didn't know what we know now, right? So at that point, it was something that gave people enjoyment,
and it was healthy for you.
And some probably did that, exactly. But either way, he found the resurrection encouraging. The night before he was beheaded, he wrote these words in his Bible. Even such is time that takes in trust our youth, our joys, our all we have, and pays us but with age and dust.
Does beheaded mean the same thing as decapitated?
Yep, beheaded means the same as decapitated. Who in the dark and silent grave, when we have wandered all our ways, shuts up the story of our days, but from this earth, this grave, this dust. My God shall raise me up, I trust. I hope if I ever am facing something like that I could write something. You'd have to figure out which Bible. But I could write something up like that. Our God will raise us up. Let's trust. So let me ask you this. Was Jesus confident in the resurrection?
Yes.
Was Paul confident in the resurrection? Assuredly. Are you confident in the resurrection?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah? Yeah, kind of. I'm not sure confident and kind of actually go together. Will you be resurrected? If you die before Jesus returns, will you be resurrected when he comes back? Yes.
Hopefully not the second one.
Yes. Please remember, Jesus himself confirmed everyone saved and unsaved would be resurrected. And Paul reminds us, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him being Jesus, if we have been united with him in death like this, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's Romans chapter 6, 1 through 5, or 3 through 5. Those are further words that should instill confidence in a church that also believes that baptism is important, don't we? Doesn't that give us more confidence? We start off this talk with some wishy-washy words from Socrates. Let's wrap it up with a totally different take by a Puritan. Do you kids know what Puritans were?
No.
Do they teach you anything in school anymore?
You should have learned that in fifth grade.
Do you know what a Puritan is, Lily?
Nope.
You
don't get history.
You don't get history. Or you don't pay attention, one of the two.
No, they didn't teach.
Puritans were religious people who came over early in the history of this. They weren't part of the country at this point, but who came over early so that they could practice their faith.
Do you mean like the Pilgrims?
Yes.
Yep.
Whoa. They were Christians.
And this is what Thomas Watson wrote. Watson wrote. We are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. Did you catch that? We are more sure. You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. I hate to say it, not to get you paranoid or anything like that. But as he said, we are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. And do you know why? One word. What's the one word?
Resurrection.
Oh, resurrection, that's true. Jesus, right. Pretty much any time you ask a question in church, you just say Jesus, and you're all set. Exactly. One word, Jesus. It's because of what he did on the cross, and because he was resurrected, we will be resurrected. Jesus.